right now. I'm right here. All right, you're here in body. Where is your mind? That's the interesting things about us is we can be in one place physically, but our minds can be somewhere else. And oftentimes we have to be careful of that because there might be something very important you need to be paying attention to where you are that if you're somewhere else, you won't get. And as we come here and think about why we're here, it's because Jesus makes a claim. He makes a claim about truth. Now, the past several weeks, we've been talking about Jesus as the deity, as God, and then Jesus as human and how those things work together. And as Jesus is human, he comes to expose what true life, true living is meant to be. To get us to realize that there is a sense where we can go through life and just walk through life with just a facade, making people think we're something that we're actually not. And sometimes we can go through life and that's fine because I just want it to look good. It doesn't have to have the integrity through and through. But one of the things Jesus comes to say is, I'm going to come and expose in this world that which has not got the integrity through and through. The kind of human living I had created you from the beginning to have. So when Jesus comes to the earth, one of the things he says is that this is my mission, he says to Pilate. His mission, I've come to the world to do what? Testify to the truth. Well, we have a hard time with truth in our culture and our world today. And I don't think it's something that's new to our culture and our world. I think it's part of existence. We're just noticing it more and more because there are more and more people who think differently about things than we do. And we all come up with an idea of how the world works, our worldview. But then when we're exposed to other people and their worldviews, we think, wait a minute, how can this be? There has to be a truth, right? But in our world, people are saying, well, that's your truth. That's not the truth. Well, sure, there are things that are my opinion that I think are true for me, like my favorite sports team or my favorite color. They might not be yours, and it's not then my purpose to convince you that my sports team is supposed to be your sports team or the color that I like is supposed to be the color that you like. But the hard part about that is our culture has shoved that over every aspect of life. That there is no ultimate truth. It's just your opinion of truth. Well, Jesus doesn't come and say, I've come to tell you about what I think is true. He says, I am truth. He is the one who is called the Word of God. And when he comes to this world, he comes to tell us what truth is. Well, we also realize that there are things that Paul has said that we're supposed to speak to people, speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4 says. And he goes on to say the reason we have to do that, we have to speak the truth in love because people's hearts have become hardened. He tells the Christians, don't live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. So what does that mean? Have you ever talked to somebody who you just thought their thinking was futile? They wanted to approach and get to a certain end, but everything they were doing was not getting them there. And you sit back and you go, well, I can see every step that you're taking that's leading you away from your goal and not towards it. But see, that's what happens is when we get involved in our own perspective of what truth is, and when we decide from our own perspective what truth is, we can miss a lot. And there's this one thing I tell people often about is, right now, you see more of me than I see of me. Right now, I don't see anything of me. I can't even see my cheeks. I am lucky. Too bad for you. That's what the mirror says every morning. What, you again? But one thing about that is we have to realize that there are things about us that we are blind to. But if we think we see things clearly, anything anybody else says about us, about maybe, hey, there's something coming out your nose. Oh, thank you. I don't want something coming out my nose. And thank you for telling me. But other people will see it happen and they'll go, ooh, I'm not going to tell him that. It might hurt his feelings. It's like, no, hurt my feelings, please. It saves me embarrassment. And that's what Jesus has come to do. He says, I'm going to come and tell you truth in spite of how bad your feelings are going to be hurt, that you're not seeing it clearly. But it's for your good. I have come to guide you on the narrow way, where the world is saying any way is a good way. Well, not every way leads to the ultimate way. And that's the challenge that we have in our world. Now, if you go to the doctor, one of the things you probably don't want them to say is, after all the testing, is say, you know, I feel like you don't have cancer. That's what you want them to say, right? I feel like you're perfectly healthy. Well, you might feel that, but man, I'm feeling something different. Well, there is something between subjective truth, like I talked about before, my favorite sports team, and objective truth. And isn't it interesting that people who claim that there is no objective truth will always use objective truth to prove that you're wrong and they're right? How about that? There is no truth. But you need to listen to my truth and do it my way. Think my way. Why? If my truth is not truth, then your truth is not truth. So what are you talking about? Why are you wasting your breath? But you know that there are things that are objectively true. You are here right now in body, maybe not in mind. Bring it back. And when you're sick, you want all the instruments that the doctors are using to determine the illness to be accurate. So perspective sometimes matters. Do you know anybody in here colorblind? Anybody? Got maybe one or two? Now, if you try to tell someone that's colorblind that this is a certain color, they're going to say, no. And everybody else in the room is going to say, yes, that's red. And they're going to say, no, it's not. It's, what is it, Ken? It's green. No. Everybody else is sitting there telling him, you've got it wrong. Not by my perspective. And isn't that the world we're living in? Everybody has a perspective. You have a perspective standing there on what you think is subjective and objective truth. But if the instruments you're using to determine truth are faulty, the results are going to be what? Faulty and false. Our world, Satan, is trying to get people to get in their mind that there is no objective truth so that you can't have a conversation that leads you towards God's ultimate goal. Because one of the things Jesus says about truth is, and we'll see later, is that he is the source and the way of truth. But sometimes when we hear truth, we go into denial. Why would we want to deny the truth? So we can create our own. Because it's inconvenient. Your truth is inconvenient. If I have to change the way I think and act, that's going to take a lot of work. And it's just easier to just live the life that I've created in my mind. And denial is a defense against reality. So, remember the movie Beautiful Mind. He was seeing things that weren't there, and finally people told him that those things aren't there. So he got to a point where he realized he was not able to perceive reality as others were perceiving it. So what he did, he would ask people, are you real? So he was what we call reality testing. And that's what we need to do in our lives. We need to do reality testing. Is this God's truth, or is this some other person's truth, or a truth that I've created? Well, when the Jewish leaders brought Jesus to Pilate, one of the things that Jesus was going to say is, everyone who sides with truth listens to me. Well, Pilate had asked him, are you a king? And he says, well, I am a king, but it's not of this world. Because if my kingdom was of this world, people would fight for my kingdom in this world. He says, that's not what I'm about. But Pilate says to him, what is truth? Jesus says, I'm the truth. You need to follow me. And Pilate, right away, he goes into denial. I don't believe you're a king that is better than my Caesar. I don't think you're a king that is better than what the Jews, because the Jews are bringing you here to kill you. And you're the king of the Jews? What's truth? Pilate asks. But you know what's interesting after he asks that question, what is truth? He goes right to objective truth. He goes back to the leaders and says, I don't find anything that causes him to be guilty. Well, what's truth, Pilate? He's guiltless in Pilate's mind. He tells the people, go back and judge him according to your law. They say, well, we don't want to do that because we can't kill him that way. Even though we know that Stephen was stoned. They're trying to wash their hands of the whole thing, make the Romans responsible because they don't want to be responsible for killing who many people in Judea believe he is king of the Jews. One of the things we realize, no truth leads to a fictional journey to a fictional destination. And that's what Satan's lie tells us. You create your own truth. It will get you to your own destination, but ultimately, where will that lead you? Well, we hope it'll lead us to really good things. But tell me, how often have you tried that and where has it led? Sometimes to good things, but it's really not as good as you'd hoped. So here is Pilate standing before Jesus. And it's the time of the Passover. And what's the Passover about? Freedom, release, redemption, identifying God and his people. You are no longer slaves. You are now free. And we think about Memorial Day and what it means. People who have committed their life for our freedom, then will we likewise sacrifice something about ourselves for the sake of others? Or will we just say, thank you for the gift, and then complain about it? And that's what many people did with Jesus. But the Passover is a time where they're celebrating release. And Jesus goes to the Jewish leaders, who do you want me to release? Do you want me to release Jesus, the King of the Jews, or do you want me to release Barabbas? Barabbas! Well, do you remember who Barabbas was? Barabbas was a guy who actually was leading an overthrow of the government. Jesus wasn't actively trying to overthrow Rome because Jesus isn't concerned about with earthly kingdoms. His kingdom is something more. And they're saying, we want Barabbas. So what actually are these leaders asking for? What do these leaders want? They want the guilty freed and the guiltless punished. Why? Because their perspective is Jesus is only going to get in the way of our truth. Okay, you come here hoping, I hope, that the word of God is going to get in the way of your assumed truth. That you come here hoping and you study the Bible, hoping that as you enter into this conversation with the God who created everything, that He will come into your life and help you see clearly how you need to maybe shift some things about the way you see yourself and the way you see others and how you see this world in general. And when Jesus comes to do that, some people become irate. The chief priests, they start to question Jesus about His disciples. Tell us about the things that you have done. And Jesus says, you act like I've done all this in secret. You come to me in the middle of the night and you take me off and arrest me, not looking for my freedom, but looking for my death during Passover. I've come to bring about your life and not your death that you're seeking yourself. You see that? How the opposites are just running into each other at this time. One is truth, one is false. Jesus says, I spoke in the open markets. I spoke in the daylight, and you come to me at night. Why? Because the leaders were afraid because the people thought that Jesus might be Messiah. They didn't want to cause an uprising. They wanted their world to stay just as it was, and this guy was causing trouble. He needs to die. The truth of Jesus comes into a world that's filled with darkness and a wrong perspective of life and says, here I am to challenge the way you see life. And what do they want? What happened to Jesus? He says, you sent people to listen to what I said. Ask them. And one of the guys smacks Jesus across the face. How dare you talk to the high priest that way? Jesus said, if I said anything that was not true, if I'm only saying the truth, I'm doing this openly, then why are you hitting? Why are you so enraged? Because Jesus was challenging the truth. You're challenging the status quo. But then we have another person in this mix, in the arrest, Peter. Now, Peter was called to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus, right? He was one of the inner circle, right? But when it comes to the time of Jesus' arrest, what do we find Peter doing? Peter thought that it was an earthly kingdom and fought at Jesus' arrest. Remember what Jesus said to Pilate? If my kingdom is not of this world, if it was of this world, my followers would fight. So what does this tell you about how Peter misunderstood Jesus' kingdom? He fought. He pulls out a sword and he strikes off Malchus's ear. Jesus says, put away your sword. And then what does he do? He heals Malchus. He grabs the ear, maybe, or just heals him. And then when they're in the dark at night and people are finding Peter along the way, Peter's following Jesus, and a servant girl comes up to him. I know you. You're one of them. Peter says, I'm not. Later on, as he's warming himself by the fire, one of the high priest's servants says, hey, you're the one who cut off my relative's ear. I'm not. And then later say, oh, yeah, you're one of them, aren't you? Peter calls down curses on himself. So look what happens to us when we're not sure of the truth. When our understanding of truth is at odds and when our world is upside down. What does Peter do? He doesn't say, yes, I will take whatever's coming to me because I trust that He is the truth. All of a sudden, he falls back to old patterns of self-protecting. So we have to realize it's going to be a hard journey. That there are going to be times we're going to live it well. There are going to be times when we're going to fall back into old patterns. But Jesus has come to reveal a better way. Jesus says His kingdom is not a physical fight against ruling authorities. Right? He didn't come down to overthrow Rome. He didn't come down to overthrow Pilate. He didn't come down to overthrow the high priest. He came down to overthrow the system that they had built, the religious leaders had built, that pointed them further away from God than closer to him. People who were trying to build themselves up rather than to be servants to the King Almighty. Jesus comes to bring correction to them. But even when they rejected him, he didn't smite them like he could as they're standing below him beneath the cross, calling curses upon him while Jesus is on the cross calling for forgiveness from his Father. See how God does things upside down from the way that we normally think is right. What we think is true, the way we think it should be done. That's why we have to be in God's word to know what it is to be true. He says, Jesus isn't going to be hiding or fearing. He's preaching and teaching in public. He's not trying to manage people's interpretation of his actions. When people misunderstand, he's not saying, come, let me tell you how you're wrong. He just lets them go upon their way and says, I planted the seed. Now it's up to you. He's not managing people's responses to him. And so often in Christianity, we think that's our job. We need to manage other people's perceptions of Jesus. We need to manage other people's responses to Jesus. We need to manage people's responses to us. If Jesus isn't going to do it, is that our job? No, Jesus came down with truth to say, this is truth. And that's all we can do too, is tell people this is the truth that we see in Scripture. And one of the things that we sing, give me the Bible. How many people have you ever sat down with and seen two different things out of the Bible? And people will say, well, it's in the Bible. Scripture says. But it doesn't mean just because Scripture says, you can take things out of context to match your own proclivities of what you think is true. I've got my way of viewing it, and then we find Scripture to back us up as bodyguards, and we can go into the conversations. But that's not what Jesus tells us to do. He says you go into it humbly because you know you don't have it right. Through the Spirit, I'm going to guide you and help you see a reality. So what we must be is be people who are pursuers of truth. What was Jesus' mission? I have come so that they can know the truth. Let's look at several scriptures about truth. God is spirit. His worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth. But we have to be open to realize it's got to be God's truth, not my truth. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth. And what will happen? You will have a Passover in your life. The truth will set you free. Free from what? Free from the bondage of what Satan is telling you is true, which is actually death. But if we don't realize the things that we're holding on to are actually killing us, we will continue to nurture them and hold on to them, thinking that they actually bring us life. And that's what Jesus came to do, is to point out, no, that's poison you're drinking. Drink of me. Drink of me. Jesus says, why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. Why is that? Because their hearts are hard. You belong to your father, the devil, he says. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar in the father of lies, yet because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. So there's times when people come into our life that they might actually be bearers of truth. And because we already have our minds made up, we cannot see, we will not hear, we will not change. And that's what Paul says in Ephesians. He says, because of the hardness of their heart, don't challenge me to be something else. I've got my life all worked out. Thank you very much. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Our world says what to that? Jesus can't be the only way. That's just mean. No, it's truth. And if you want to know Jesus and follow the way, you will have the life that you're longing for, that you can say you can do it your way. Jesus is just telling you, you will not get to where you think you're going without Jesus. You listen to our world. Everybody who dies is going to heaven. That's not truth. But we want it to be truth because it makes us feel good. Jesus didn't come to make us feel good. He came to give us truth. For those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. I don't want to hear that. I want that I can choose. The Bible doesn't say that. And whether you're sitting there now hearing me or listening to it on the web, well, you're just narrow-minded and harsh and mean and exclusionary. No, I'm just saying what the Bible says. And Jesus comes down and says, this is the truth. You don't have to like it. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to choose to walk with or walk away. Paul says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. So when the lover of all people comes from heaven and tells us harsh things that hurt our ears and our hearts and our emotions and our feelings, that's okay. He's all right with that. Because he's hoping that pain will cause us to change. Because he is the diagnosis for what ails us. Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. Now, people were saying, yeah, your words, they don't mean anything. And Jesus says, well, look at my life. This is the challenge for us. We can know a lot of truth, but we have to make sure it's God's truth. Jesus says, but if I do these things, even though you do not believe me, believe my works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. So when we are talking to people in loving concern for them, when we are maybe telling them things that are hard for them to hear, it's got to continuously be motivated by love. But ultimately, we need to check ourselves to make sure that our life is close to the steps of Christ as possible. Because you know what people will do? Is they will try to find any fault that you have. And guess what? We all have it. So we shouldn't deny it. Well, you know, well, I saw you the other day, you did that. You go, yeah, and I'm really ashamed of it. As opposed to saying, well, that's just, you know, let's talk about something different. No, let's talk about how I don't have full integrity. Yeah, because I'm being changed. The truth leads to the only place worth going. Can you handle the truth? Your actions expose what you believe is true. Your actions expose what you follow. How would others define what you believe is true, meaningful, and most important by looking at your life? That's the challenge that I give you to go home with, is to do some introspection. What would people say is my truth based on my words and my actions? And remember, we're all a work in progress. Don't walk out of here with your head held low, just saying, thank God that he gives me the opportunity to do it better next time. And that through his Spirit, I can and I will. Praise God. If you need the prayers of the church, whatever need you have, you can come forward now as we stand and give God praise.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you falling?